You did record. Mm-hmm. I went home last week, we were cooking a dinner, and Linda said, "Look, the preaching," because she was upstairs with the children. I said, and checked the machine to make sure it recorded okay, and I pressed the button, and I preached for 1 second. So it wasn't on there. So I've just double checked. That was what the delay was, to make sure that it was. I think it was working properly. Maybe I put the other end of this into the earphone instead of the microphone bit. I don't know. But it's not happened very often in all the times that we've been able. I'm fortunate and blessed to do it. What I am able to do this morning is to say that we're going to Rogerston tonight. So as long as they don't wonder what I'm doing, I hope to preach the message that I preached last week. So I hope to record that and then get it on the website. And for whoever, if you do listen to the sermons on the website, then God bless you. It's encouraging. But just to get the message out there is, which is very much about what the word is this morning, to encourage you and to encourage us as a church. And I believe it's a word in season for us, just as last week's breakthrough message, a message on breaking through and how David found his God of breakthrough in the valley of Rephaim, in the valley of giants. And he found his God of breakthrough, and he got a breakthrough on and broke through on and got victory over the enemy. Then we encouraged you, the word encouraged you to find God, that you had that everlasting and eternal hope of anticipation and expecting something that will be different. And that was hope. So yeah. I mean, Craig, when Craig was giving a word of thanks for the for the offering this morning, he said that that it may form a basis to spread the word, I think, or to share the word, for the word may go out. And that's the title of my sermon this morning, is Spread the Word. And I'm hoping that God will take us from where we believe the breakthrough, because we're always hoping through a breakthrough, aren't we? Not just in our own lives, but in this world that we live in. The breakthrough that the gospel will finally break through to this unbelieving world, and more people will come to salvation. If that's not our desire, and if that's not what we're on our knees praying for, then we need to question what it is that we're doing. Because today I hope that God will just maybe refocus some of our priorities and our focus towards this title this morning of Spread the Word. There's a lovely scripture I just noted as I was going over my notes this morning in Psalm 3:8, which says, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." Amen. It's all about God. So everything that I share this morning, it's not placing any expectancy upon us. In fact, it's quite the reverse of that. It's and that salvation in that word means human deliverance. You can't do it yourself. I can't do it for you. Nobody else but God can do that and bring about that. And but the wonderful thing is that salvation of human deliverance that belongs to God has been entrusted to man to deliver. Isn't that absolutely awesome and wonderful this morning? But you see, no one else but God could come up with a plan that God himself should become a man in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to hold it there a minute, because I've just realized I've not asked the Lord's blessing upon preaching of his precious word this morning. So let's just have a moment of prayer, please. Father, I thank you. Thank you this morning that, Lord, that we can be found in your house. And Lord, we look to you right now. We look to you as the God of our salvation. You are the Lord of salvation. Salvation belongs to you this morning. And I pray these words that I speak, Lord, this morning, that will belong to you. They will be received in the hearts of believers this morning. It will be received with open and glad hearts. And that, Father God, it will accomplish everything that you purpose it would do this morning. It will prosper in the places where you send it today. So, Father, open up our hearts to what you would have to say to us this morning. I pray that you will cause me to remember. And Lord, that you will just inspire me and encourage me in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, our Lord and our Savior this morning, in your precious name. Amen. So yeah, so I mean, it's pretty awesome, isn't it? Because no one else but God could come up with a plan that God himself should become a man in the person of Jesus Christ and represent humanity by bearing the punishment that we deserve. And only God can overcome death. And But I would imagine, I want to deliver this in a bit of a different way this morning, because it comes from almost like a third party. I want to see what other visions would be upon us and upon things that were happening when Jesus laid out his plan for salvation. You know, you can imagine the angels in heaven scratching their heads in puzzlement at this, and the thought of leaving the responsibility of spreading the good news of the gospel in the hands and feet of such a weak and feeble bunch of men and women. Now, I'm not directing that at you this morning. I'm directing it at the point where we're going to go to, and that's what Jesus left it with. But in saying that, it is directed at us this morning, because we are a bunch of weak and feeble human beings who get lots of things wrong, which we've already had confessions this morning, and we don't come to a confession box to do that. It's directly to God, and we don't need to share our sins. We may share with our closest friends our faults or failures sometimes, but we don't need to share our sins, do we? But so look around you. It's you and me, and it could be like, God, are you real? Are you sure you want us to deal with this responsibility? What are you thinking about? And there's a writer called Joe Aldrich, which starts his book on lifestyle evangelism with an imaginative fable, and I'd just like to read from there. And it's a bit of a narrative. So it says, the angel Gabriel approached Jesus and said, Master, you must have suffered terribly for men down there. I did, he said. And, continued Gabriel, do they know all about how you loved them and what you did for them? Oh no, said Jesus, not yet. Right now only a handful of people in Palestine know. Gabriel was perplexed. Then, what have you done, he asked, to let everybody know about your love for them? Jesus said, well, I've asked Peter, James and John, and a few more of their friends, a few more of my friends, to tell other people about me. Those who are told will in turn tell still more people about me, and my story will spread to the furthest reaches of the globe. Ultimately, all of mankind will have heard about my life and what I have done. Gabriel frowned and looked rather skeptical. He knew well what poor stuff men were made of. Yes, he said, but what if Peter, James and John grow weary? What if the people who come after them forget? What if way down in the 21st century, people just don't tell others about you? Haven't you made other plans? And this is the bit that inspired me from this. And Jesus answered, and we're going to line this up to the gospel as well also. This is just not the views of man. Jesus answered, I haven't made any other plans. I'm counting on them. Wow. And when I received that in my spirit, that just made me so excited, because, you know, I think the world may look on as Gabriel did, and I'm not criticizing him, but when he looked at the difference between man and God and thought, God, I understand what you had to do, but this bit that you're giving for them to do, surely not. Surely you've got a plan B somewhere. Surely, surely. And I think if Gabriel was here today, he would probably say the same things about us. Surely not that lot. Surely not him stood at the front there. You're not relying on him, are you, to encourage this lot to do what it is that you want them to do? Yeah. I'm counting on them. I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you to change the world. And probably, and if Jesus was here today, he'd be just saying the same thing. I am here. The great I am is here. I haven't made any other plans. I'm counting on them. Little old you and me. And if we are the only plan that God has, and I think you might agree with me this morning that his plans do not fail. You agree with that this morning? God's plans don't fail. The plans for salvation did not fail. The devil thought it did, and a lot of his followers at the time thought that he did. But the plan for salvation, we look back over the years now, and we know that the cross, as we said, it is finished, and we don't need to add anything else into it. Then it follows, if God's plan for salvation worked, then we will succeed. Whatever it is that Jesus is asking us to do, the plan for that breakthrough that we so hope for, it's not another program, it's not another set of events, it's not anything other than what Jesus has asked us to do, and that is to go and preach. Go and preach the message of the gospel, which I'll lead you into now. So this morning, God would like us to get to that place where we can again believe that His plan is the only plan that we've got. So therefore, it must succeed. So the plan of knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and coming close to Him and believing Him for that breakthrough, which we've been preaching and sharing about, the breakthrough for your own life, the breakthrough for your family's life, the breakthrough for your neighbors and the town that we live in and this nation that we so love and stand for, and this world that God loves, involves God. It's plan A. There isn't a plan B. And the sooner we wake up as Christians and realize that, you know, I think a lot of people are looking for plan B. They're looking for something else to lean on. They're looking for something else to rest on. It's not there, Christians, today. There is only one way, and Jesus Christ is that way. I have no other plan. I'm counting on them. You'll probably hear me say that quite a lot this morning as I go through this sermon. Jeremiah 29:11 says, and you know that one, let me read that. Find that in your Bible and remind ourselves what that is this morning, please. 29:11. Someone read that out for me, please. Amen. Different variations, but I know the plans that I have for you, that they say the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to a future and an expected end. That God knows the plan. It's already worked out for a plan, and that plan is for success. Turn with me to Romans 9:28, please. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord shall make a short work upon this earth. That word finish there means to complete entirely. It is God that is going to finish the work. It is God, part of God's plan, that it shall be completed entirely, and he will cut it short in righteousness. The righteousness that stands for the cross this morning. That's the way that it was done. And not to be confused with shortcut. When he says he cut it short in righteousness, it doesn't mean to say that he took the easy way out. Couldn't have been a harder way to do it than give up his own life as a sacrifice for the sins of this world, to pay the price for everything else that we've done. That is not a shortcut. And this morning, friends, brothers and sisters, don't try and take shortcuts. You can cut short the work in God to an expected end. There's a lot of people that are just living their lives for themselves at the moment. There's a world that is dying, which is lost, which does not know the knowledge of God. And we need to bring it to them, that they can cut short the work of their salvation and bring it to a speedy end. In the name of Jesus, it involves the cross, but it involves spreading the word of God and going out and preaching and teaching the word of God. Amen? God is good. It's not a quicker or an easier way. There is no shortcuts in this. People go by different religions and different denominations. And we know that the word says it is by grace. To cut short the work in righteousness, God introduces grace. That is cutting short the work. Which cuts, what it does, it cuts out all the work of man. It bypasses all the work of man and comes down to the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross and says, I have cut it short in righteousness. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ himself is the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. And in John 14:6 said, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man shall come to the Father but by me. And this world needs to know that there is no other way that they're going to go to heaven. There is no other way of having a relationship with God other than through Jesus Christ. Spread the word. Preach the word. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. That complete in there is very similar to the word that is in a finish. So we hear the words promise of what he has begun, he will perform. That's the word. Sorry, perform is just another form of finishing. Daily, the Lord is performing and finishing his work that he has begun in us, and in faith he sees us as the finished article. Isn't that wonderful this morning? We look at ourselves and we see, well, goodness me, I wish I could do this, or I wish I could do that, I wish that would be sorted out. But you see the whole reason and the purpose of the message that he has given us to go and spread that word is, and why he's counting on you is that it's because he sees the finished article. He doesn't see any flaws in you, he doesn't see any faults in you, he doesn't see that that task I've asked her to do, I think I'm going to have to get someone else in instead of that person to do this. The reason he has counted on you is because he sees us complete and whole and utter as Jesus Christ. The next time you're faced with a task, just think of yourself, it's Christ in me that is going to overcome. Oh, you are little children, but he that is in you shall overcome he that is in the world. And we spoke about it last week, about being the more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. That lovely word, hupernikios. We're hupernikios. In faith he sees us. Gabriel's views very much reflect the world's view of how they see us, and how it sees all our faults and failures. And isn't it great that God's looks past them all? I haven't made any other plans, Jesus said. I'm counting on them. I haven't made any other plans, Jesus said. I'm counting on you. Mariah, church, Esther Munnock, I haven't made any other plans. I'm counting on you to change Esther Munnock. And if you do that, you may affect the valleys and all the areas around you. You know what? In cycles of church lives, and we look back, and I can think of thinking about it. We're going to, if a revival broke out, and there was a wave and an outburst, wasn't there, in Victory some time ago, where great things were happening. And I wonder if somebody asked the question, where did it start? How did it start? Tell me what you did to make it start, and I'll copy you and I will do it. We don't want to be doing that, do we? We don't want to be copying formats that might have worked over there, but we do what the Lord has commanded us to do, which I'm going to building up to, and I'll get there eventually this morning, preaching of the word, and it involves going and preaching and teaching the message of the gospel. And as I was thinking on that little revival and the revivals, it always involves people on their knees and prayer. It always involves people giving up everything and putting God first. Well, I know that. But more than anything, I just thought, isn't it just about having that hope that whatever happens and however happens, that it will happen? So we sit here today hoping that these chairs will be full so that some lives can be saved. Some more people who have been addicted, who are having problems, who are oppressed and depressed, who are struggling and are beaten down by the world's problems, can come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be saved, set free. But it involves preaching the word. And I have no other plan. I'm counting on you to do it. How do we do that, church? How do we have a breakout? How do we do it? Well, you can stand on formats and formulas and do whatever. I don't know what it is, but all I know is that God is going to break out on this church and break through on this church and bring about something that we've never ever seen before, because his word says it. And I have that eternal hope of always expecting something marvelous and wonderful to happen. Do you expect it today, saints of God? And your faces are not telling me that they are. Hallelujah. Not much has changed. On dozens of occasions, after a 40-day period following the Lord's resurrection, Jesus appeared to hundreds of his disciples that were scattered all across Judea. He walked with them. Isn't it great when Jesus walks with us? He talked with them. I love it when Jesus talks to me. You telling me off again, Lord? Are you making sure I'm on the right path again, Lord? He spent time with people after their disappointment. Now, we could be disappointed that things aren't going quite as well as we'd hope them to go at the moment. So therefore, I know that this is the best time for Jesus to come and do the same thing that he did after his resurrection. Because Jesus is alive. You don't believe Jesus is dead, do you? No, he is alive. You know, some of us could be a bit double. Well, I don't know. I wonder where he is or what he's doing. But Jesus Christ is alive. So it's encouragement time and this time of walking and talking. He spent some time and he ate with them. And I mean, generally speaking, what we would say nowadays is he hung out with his mates. He hung out with his friends. And you know, in our Christian walk, I want more and more of Jesus' time to hang out with us and walk with us and talk with us and eat with us and share with us and remind us of the things that he has promised us to get us ready to build us up, to take us away from disappointment, past letdowns, faults and failures, and bring us to a place where we are ready to do what it is that he has asked us to do. And that is, what is it? Change this world that we live in. Because if Christians don't do it, no one else is going to do it. No politician, no king, no president, no queen, no princes, no princesses, no whatever it is, no hierarchy anywhere else in the world is going to change anything. Because I haven't got a plan B. I'm counting on them. He's counting on us. Jesus is still encouraging us. I'm so glad. So those who are experiencing difficulties, he rallies his church around. I'm so glad he does that together for the work ahead. And you know, revived and ready to spread the word. Just think of somewhere where you can go, boldly go where no man has been before. Boldly go where you've not been before. And start spreading the news. That could be a song, couldn't it? Who sang that? I don't know. I don't know. Someone started singing it. Who was it? Oh, that was New York, New York. But start spreading the news. Christ's alive, Christ's alive. Whatever we want to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just at the right time, Jesus would lay out his plan and to his disciples, a plan that has not changed for thousands of years. It's the purpose of the Christian church today. And in two mountaintop experiences, and one of which I would like to share with you this morning, that he gave them the plan that would change the world. And I'd like to just to share that one. If you turn to Matthew, please, 28. Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus took them to a mountain. You know, there's something special about a mountaintop, isn't there? There's something absolutely awesome. The view, the advantage that you get to be able to see for miles and miles and miles in all directions, away from the humdrum of the everyday life stuff, the cycles and patterns of life. Isn't that wonderful that Jesus just, he took the 11 up there. He didn't just say, oh, go on, and this is important also, he didn't just say, go on, get up there, because you won't get up there on your own anyway. You need me to take you, Jesus. I got to lead you. I got to take you. And which reminded me when I was looking at that of the book Hind's Feet on High Places, if you ever read that. The main character, which was called Much Afraid, her main purpose was to climb the mountain and meet the Savior at the top there. But she was never alone for any minute, but there was times that she felt that she was alone, and all these things used to come against her, which is why she got the name Much Afraid. And I forgot the name that the MC transformed into, Mercy and Grace, or Mercy and Truth, all those were her companions. But she had difficulties, because as she was going on this journey, then she you think you could see the top of the mountain, and you get around the next corner, and then there was always another little bit that was there. And we had a lovely experience when we went to Madeira also, of going up to one of the mountain, the second highest mountain on the island. I think it was about 3,000 feet. And you're going up in the road, and you're going up, and then the guide is saying, oh, we've got about another 20 minutes of this, and you're thinking, flipping Henry, that's now. And you're going on, and you're going round and round and round and round. Oh, but I tell you what, when you got to the top, you could see right round the island, and you could see little specks of little communities dotted around all over the place. The view was absolutely fantastic. You just felt, wow, I feel like as if I'm on top of the world. That's where Jesus was taking his friends. Taking them to a high place, the mountaintop experience, to experience something. And the church today, we could be blessed with some of that same mountaintop experiences, could we? Jesus, take us to that place where you can share your plan with us, where you can share what it is you would have us to do, investing in us, and just take us away where we can see better, where we can refocus some of the things that are around us, some of the things, look how little that problem seems now, the one I was really focusing on and making big seems nothing up here now. Mountaintop experiences are brilliant, and the place that God revealed his plan for salvation to this world was in a mountaintop experience. And maybe it's time for you to get alone. I don't know, I've been trying as hard as I can to get to that place once again where I can experience that exhilaration of being on a mountaintop with Jesus, where he fills me with his spirit again and his love and his grace and his mercy. And he says, come on, Andrew, let's have another go. Let's go. Let's get going. Remember all the plans that I've got for you. And he starts flooding back things into our life. You know, what's appropriate for me and proper for me today is right for the church. Let's pray that God takes us to that place where we can see clearly, that we don't worry about the little things that don't matter anymore, but we concentrate on the things that do. And that is spreading the word of the gospel, because there are people that are dying and going to hell while we're sitting here sometimes. Or why churches are. This is not any reflection on where we are as a church. Please don't think this is criticism. But the urgency, which you will see, I hope, as we were speaking about it, that Jesus, first of all, took them to that place. He says some of them were what were the words it said? Sorry? Some of them who stood there. Some of them doubted. Yes, and some of us will still doubt. But Jesus takes the time. He took them to bed. I can imagine that on that mountain, that doubt was removed once and for all. When you spend time with Jesus, your doubt is removed. When you spend time on the mountaintop, your doubt is removed. One to one with Jesus, who said, I am God, plan B, man. It's you. I'm counting on you. Come on, you can do it. Hallelujah. Matthew 17 and 1 was another mountaintop experience, mountain 1 and 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James and John and his brothers and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. Hallelujah. And his clothes came as white as the light. Wow. Can you just imagine that this morning? If Jesus took your hand and took you to that place, leading to a higher place, so that you could see him in all his splendor and all his glory. You see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, reigned in all righteousness and glory. He opens up your eyes to see a whole host of angelic forces bowing and knees before him. You see Jesus as the Lord of your life, transformed in that instant. Let God take your hand right now and take you to that high place. In your quiet time at home, in your quiet time in church, as this word is preaching, God can lift you to that place and reveal unto you his plan that he has for your life. But I don't know the words to say. Rubbish, I'll put the words in your mouth. Don't worry about that. That's the little problem that is down there. Now I've taken you to a higher place for you to know that it's not about what you and what you can do. It's about me and what I can do in you. It's all about Jesus today. And the sooner I get that into my thick head, the better. And as soon as I get that into my hard heart, the better. Hallelujah. You see, because what Jesus hasn't done for me this morning is just, you're rubbish. I got enough tissues for each and every one of you here this morning. And this was not part of my plan. I'm sorry. But get out, you're rubbish, you're no good. Someone will pick them up after for me. I'm not discarded box of tissues. You're plan A. I'm counting on you. I have nothing else. It's all about Jesus. But it's about what we can do. Amen? God is awesome. From the everyday circles and cycles and routines of life that are causing us to be off balance, off key, feeling a bit wobbly, stressed, whatever the word that you want to call it. You know, he doesn't take. What struck me about this was he doesn't say how long he took them up there. He doesn't say that they were up there. Oh, they had a fortnight of just whatever. They have a dedication. They went away and they just spent months with Jesus. It's not mentioned. You see, it could be 10 minutes. Why not get alone with Jesus for 10 minutes? And if that's all that he knows that you've got for that particular time, he'll suck everything in that 10 minutes and say, right, you asked for it, you're going to get it. Here's the full program. Here's the full works. Here is my life in you right now. Get on with it and go for it in Jesus' name. Could be half a day. Maybe he's a bit more. Maybe there's things he needs to deal with us first. He dealt with the doubt and the unbelief on the mountaintop as he did with those people because some doubted. Maybe that's part of it. All I know is that whatever it is, it was a blessing to see the transformation, to see the King in all his glory. Does the church need that? Yes, it does. Amen and hallelujah to that. Genesis 12:7 was the place where Abraham received and then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who appeared unto him from the vantage point of a mountaintop, which is some 3,000 feet above sea level. That's about where me and you are, Linda. You can imagine there he was, Abraham, having a chat with God, and he was just saying, look, this is all you can see. But it wasn't just a tiny little island, it was all everywhere. This is the promised land. This is what I've got for you. You see, we could just go up and we could just say, well, all I can see is that little bit. Let God take you to the higher place where you think that you've got to the top of the mountain. Because I've done that. You stand at the bottom of Penavan Mountain and you look up. You won't see the top. You'll just see the first, whatever they call it, bump. And then you get to that first bump and you look up and you, oh no, have I really got to go all the way up there? Maybe that's what it is with like in our walk with God. Says, I want to get you to that high place. And you go, okay, Lord, I'll go. It's not very far, is it? And you go, oh, is it really all the way up there? Come on. Don't forget, I cut it short in righteousness. If you're with me and I'm holding your hand, I'll lead you. He said that he led them to the mountain place. He led them up there. He took them. He didn't just say, get on with it and go. He doesn't say, just get on with it and go to us this morning. And it'll probably come with the second half of this message where the Holy Spirit is the thing that we need in the church today to lead us and guide us and revive this nation in each and every one of us. God's plan is plan A. And that includes us this morning. Amen. From the vantage point, Abraham could see all that God was promising. He needed to go to a place that was higher than himself. He needed to be taken out of that. Psalm 61 and 2 says, from the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We need to be on the rock. We need to be at an vantage point which is higher than what my ability and understanding is. And that is of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. The mountain top could very well be out of view, and we need someone to lead us and take us and show us where it is. Alone in that quiet place, God begins to reveal his plan for mankind. And most Christians know it today as the Great Commission. That's what it says here. This is the Great Commission for today's church. So I want to ask you to go back to that passage of scripture again, and we're going to read again just a couple of the verses. Matthew 28, just 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The plan is to make disciples of all nations. There's lots of verbs, doing words in that passage of scripture. In Jesus' directive, there's words like go, there's words like baptize, there's words like teach. They're all good things that and become part of the Christian way. All those things are part of our lives, isn't it? I hope that we see lots of teaching. I hope that we see lots of people being baptized. If you haven't, you need to be putting your name at the top of the list, because it's part of the things that has been commanded for us to do. But it's not the focal point of it. It's not the one. And they're all good things. They're all part of the Christian way of life. But the most prominent one in the Greek translation and the way that it's written is the make disciples. Make disciples. To tell people of the offer of salvation. Do you know that Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship with you this morning? I don't know whether you've asked Jesus Christ into your life, or whether or not you've repented of your old sins, of your old life. I don't know whether you realize that Jesus Christ died upon a cross for you. Let's take that advantage. You see, this is why we don't take the shortcut when we do maybe different meetings or our family service. We don't leave out the gospel in that. What a wonderful opportunity that we can create in different ways, and I'll come on that in a minute, but of having to share the gospel. I mean, even at a wedding or a funeral, the gospel message is preached, isn't it? Wherever we are, we preach it. I've said to a few people recently, where can we go where we can just take a couple of the guitars and some song? Where can we go that we can just sing our hearts out and tell people about Jesus? I struggled to find a place. I feel really uncomfortable doing it in church. I'm okay doing it there, but as soon as you go outside of those doors, where do we go? Where do we go to? Because there's so many rules and regulations now about what you can and cannot do, and you've got to check that you're not stepping on it. You've got to check this, you've got to check that. So where can you go? Where can you go where the crowd is? You see, the crowd used to follow Jesus around. He didn't have the problem of getting the crowd. They followed him everywhere they went. But we'd have a difficulty today, and I don't know. I haven't got the answers. In part of this preaching today is not to give you the answers what to do. All I know is it's make disciples. To have that opportunity, and maybe to create opportunities where we can have groups of people together, and then we can tell them about the love of God and the love of Jesus. That's the most important thing. Jesus Christ, who paid the price for you and your sin. When somebody told me that, and it actually sunk into my spirit and my soul, I felt ashamed, but I dealt with it, and then I realized, wow, this is powerful. This is wonderful. Lord, I accept you into my life, and I gave my heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. And I know that maybe most of you, I would hope that you have done the same. But we can go from it, we can stray from it. We could be down in a valley right now maybe, and God's just saying to you, come back up with me up to the mountain place again. I want to renew you and revive you and re-equip you to do whatever it is that I'm asking you to do. God's good. Hallelujah. And you see, there is an urgency about it. Sometimes when we try to convey in a message the urgency of something, sometimes we might elevate our voices. I think I do. Sometimes I probably shout. Linda says, "I heard you shouting again this morning." It's not because I think you're deaf. It's just that you say, "Well, God, there isn't." Or yeah, you get more animated with your hands. They start going all over the place. And no doubt you do exactly the same thing when you're trying to convey a message. But let me just share what that word go means. It says go. This means to travel, or a way of life, or a journey. And it comes from the root word to pierce through and beyond to the other side. In other words, to break through or to break out. Wow, it's a bit more than just go, isn't it? It's a bit more than Jessica. But when I read the first part of it, I thought, yeah, that's a bit like me. I'm thinking travel, way of life, a journey. You know, have your travel or way of life, and while you're doing it, try and make some disciples. Or it'll happen. In other words, but what about if my way of life is not obedient to the king and doesn't do that? It nullifies this go. So there must be something a bit more different in this go, which I hope that I can share with you this morning. Because what is most important is that I break out from that, or I break through to get to the other side, to a place where disciples can be made, a place where the gospel can be shared, a place where believers will receive and acknowledge Jesus Christ, where the message of the gospel gets out. And the challenge this morning is that we should break free from any traditional methods that we do, you know. It's strange, and I haven't got the answers. I don't know why we do the same things in the same patterns all the time. But as long as they don't become traditions, because God would not have us to do that. To break free from that. Well, we've always done it this way. This is the way that we do door-to-door evangelism, perhaps. Or this is the way that we do this. Or this is the way that we do a Sunday service. Let's break free from all of that. Because I think until we do, we're going to be shackled to the same old ways. And God would not have us to go to live our life like that. You see, our mode of transport, I'm always hoping that by living our lives as we can in obedience to Christ, that maybe someone will see us, and maybe they'll see me, and then maybe go, oh, I want a bit of that. And then, well, true reflection on my life is that I probably reflect in somebody which is a bit beaten, broken up, that doesn't get things right, that's forever making mistakes. So why would anybody look at me? Why would anybody look at me and say, well, I want some of that? They won't. But if I was confident enough and forward enough to say, look, discount this part of me. It's not about my way of life at the moment. It's not about where I'm up or down or whatever. The most important thing is that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that you understand the message of the cross. And that sin must be punished. That we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I don't tell them about me, and I don't show them me. I show them Jesus Christ. I show them the gospel. Hallelujah. To be radical. To be free to express yourself and to make disciples. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. Is it your deep burning desire that souls come to the knowledge of Christ? Probably not at the moment. Lord, I'm sorry. And I confess. Do you want it to be your deep burning desire that people come to the knowledge of Christ? Yes, I do. Church, do you want that desire and hunger in your heart for people to come to the knowledge of Christ? Yes, I do. Then your plan A, and God's got no other plan this morning but to use us. And during this time maybe of evolving and the church to whatever it is we're doing, God's going to take us to that place. You know, we don't expect things to happen overnight, do we? You know, I've been pastoring here for nearly 20 years, and I could think, well, why hasn't anything happened? Well, maybe because it's been waiting for this time for things to change in my heart and for us to just to go to that mountain place and receive something that will cause us to break out and to break through, hallelujah, so that we can make disciples. Hallelujah. That phrase, go, is similar to a passage in Matthew 2:13, which says, and when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring this word. For Herod will seek the younger child to destroy him. It says, arise and take the child, go and make disciples. They have similarly lost some of their urgency in their translations and the way that they've been written. And take the child, get out of here. What are you waiting for? Make disciples, go. What are you waiting for? That's what it's more likely to be. And where we say go and make disciples, it's not, oh, just live your life and make some disciples on the back of it. Flip it around with me for just a minute. Where the importance and the emphasis in the original translation says, make disciples. that's with a voice. I'm allowed to do up and with a voice. You know? I'm allowed to get more animated in my hand, because that's the message that I think that Jesus would have portrayed to his disciples, and that they would have understood on that day. Make disciples. Go. Get on with it. That's the plan of the Great Commission. So it's like when the angel gave the warning to Gabriel. It wasn't just, while you're getting up, take the child with you so that he's safe. Take the child! Get up and get out of here! See, the emphasis changes dramatically. It just by shifting those two words. I haven't shifted them around. That's the way that the original should have been, or maybe written, to give it more emphasis and more urgency. Because, friends, this morning there is an urgency about the preaching and the teaching of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Because what we're just resting on, I'll go. I'll live my life, my journey, my mode of transport, whatever it is that I do. And then I'll hope that... It's almost like a hoping. And there's no urgency in it when you understand or read it like that. Make disciples. So Gabriel reviews his thoughts. And says, well, if they get on with it, as you have shared with me now, if they understand the urgency of it, they should make a good job of it. I think they're going to be all right. I think they're going to do okay. You see, to me now, Gabriel says, I think plan A is a good plan, Jesus. I think it's a good one. I think they're up for it. Now that's the question this morning, church. Are you up for it, and are we up for it? Because nothing is going to change until we do. Our attitudes, our focus, your love for Christ will always be there. And it's not by this, please don't get this mixed up with works. This is not a work of works. This is being obedient to the King. And then we follow what it is that he's asked us to do. And plan A seems to be better than I first thought. It's a lot better. And especially now, you see, because now I understand you're actually going to be with them as well. Because, yeah, I didn't realize that first. You said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm always going to be with them. Well, if you're with them, you can pick them up, Jesus, when they fall down. If you're with them, you can redirect them if they go on the wrong road. If you're with them, I can understand why you're putting so much faith in them now. That great plan of God's redemption, of salvation belonging to Him, human deliverance belonging to God, but entrusted to man, we can now see. There's a whole host of angels now who can now see it, seeing it differently. You see, if we see it like that, maybe we, someday, the world will see it a bit differently as well. Which I know that it will, because I'm going to bring this scripture in as well, which is Philippians 2, 10 to 11. Which says, and at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, that's inspired by the Holy Spirit, so I know that it's true. I know that that scripture, there will come a day when that will happen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
If you believe the scripture, then you believe that. So we're looking forward now that there's going to be a name where every knee will bow before Jesus Christ, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. Well then, doesn't that tell us that plan A must have worked? It must have. Plan A. For the scripture to be true, then from now until the one day when they do bow, and the one day when they do confess, then that mixed bunch, that mixed multitude, that rabble down there at Moriah, and everywhere else, they must have done something right. They must have played their part in making disciples. So I speak faith over this church this morning, and that we're part of plan A, and that we are, and that we will make a big difference to the numbers that will one day bow their knee before Jesus and confess him as Lord of all. The ways in which we do that are endless. We have stitch by stitch. Make disciples in stitch by stitch. Don't hold back on the gospel. Get people to that place of making commitments. Tiddlers, don't hold back on the gospel. Whatever else that we choose to do. And I'm not going to be one that's going to set, we're setting up programs or things for us to do. Don't look for me to do that. You get to the mountaintop and to that mountain places and then make disciples. Go. Go. And when you come back here, Jesus will be here to encourage you, to lift you up, to take you again to that mountaintop experience, to that place where he can bless you and lift you up and say, go again, make disciples. Plan A includes you and me. Plan A includes the church. What have we been called to do? Make disciples. My prayer this morning is that Jesus would take us to that mountaintop place. Let's stand, please. That is that's my message this morning. That's what God would have. It's not the end of that message, though. I can't get to the rest of it until another 2 weeks. Next week we've got visitors. The week after we've got our family service. But in 2 weeks' time, I'll continue this. I hope you've been encouraged this morning by the Word of God, that God's plan for salvation for this world includes you. Perhaps you've never realized that before or even thought of it in that way. You are plan A. You are plan A in his heart. You are the apple of his eye this morning. And he involves you today. So let's hope that we can have that mountaintop experience so that we can see the urgency of what is needed and around, that we would see ourselves as God sees us. And that is that it's fit for purpose, ready to do his will. Lord, may your church break out and break through. And all the people at Moriah said, Amen. Hallelujah.